Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Shannon Feltus.
Shh, I'm Bonnie Dutch.
Oh, yeah. And this is You Are That.
It is. We're two sisters, and we can't take a compliment.
No.
All right, we have a remote episode coming your way, which means your brain at some point is going to say,
hey, this sounds a little different.
Let your heart tell your brain, hell yeah, it does. And I'm into it.
So our guest today is a childhood favorite, and we also wish she was one of our sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You might remember her from a little show called Step by Step. She played Al. She is Christine Lakin.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh my God.
We are so excited to have you.
We are so excited. You have no idea.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. I mean, you are so much more than that, but that is what the nostalgia-based fan base is going to remember, probably.
Obvious.
Yeah.
For sure.
Or like, everyone remembers you from The Hottie or the Naughty.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Where you had those beautiful teeth.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Okay, so real talk, I'm a little nervous.
Why?
You were my idol growing up, so I was kind of the Al in my mind. And I was like a tomboy. And
oh my gosh.
We sat down as a family of six to sit and watch TJF and watch your show together, which was normally like a huge shit show.
Total shit show.
Yeah. So it's kind of impressive. I'm excited.
We wanted to have more siblings. So basically, we would sit down and we're like, you know what? These will be our TV siblings. We'll have our TV family. It'll be great.
Oh, God. That's so sweet. Well, and you know what? I had no siblings.
Oh, that's right.
Have no siblings.
So you were an only child in real life. So you surrounded yourself with other random strange kids that you
totally
made your family.
It was amazing. I loved every minute of it. And, you know, it was like you'd work together, then you'd go off to the school trailer and you'd all have like, you know, different teachers, but we were all in the same trailer for the first couple of years. And then people started to graduate and stuff. But just the antics. Like, I've always been someone who loves the backstage antics.
You guys seem like you really gelled really well, too.
Yeah. And as much as fun as the show was, it was like the, you know, the behind the scenes and hanging out in the dressing rooms and being in hair and makeup. And, you know, it was just like all of the stuff. We would just hang all the time. And then at night, you'd get to go home and have your...
Yeah, that's the dream.
Yeah, we all really got along very well. And then you'd go home and you'd have your space because you'd leave at 6 o'clock or whatever.
We shared rooms for way too long.
Yeah.
Part-time sibling.
So both of us also listen to Worst Ever.
Oh, hell yeah.
We are so obsessed.
It's not even funny.
Yes, I know.
So I've been jotting down names for your rename of the podcast, and I think it's great. I don't think you should rename it.
Yeah.
Well, we may not. And we may just keep it. we're kind of like recalibrating, and I think we're gonna start recording again next month. So Ala and I are sort of like tossing around some ideas. We may actually just keep it, but we may change the format a little bit or add some new stuff to it, just to kind of keep it fresh and a little different.
Do you guys just feel like pigeonholed by the theme?
No,
I love the theme.
Me too.
I think it's cool. I love it.
You know, it's funny because like the theme, of course, is all the worst things that have ever happened to you, which I love like leveling the playing field, especially with people who are super successful in their own right, and talking about like either career mishaps or personal mishaps. It just kind of takes us all down to a human level, which at the end of the day, that's what we all are.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the amount of murder and reality shows we talk about, it's like my worst ever. I thought this podcast was about celebrities. Okay, I guess it's just about Ala's obsession with murders. But yeah.
Dude. Yeah. So what are you currently working on? Are you allowed to talk about it with us?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's a secret because everyone knows that this is coming out. So as some people know, aside from my on-camera work and sometimes my directing work, I also do a lot of voiceover.
Yeah, you were the newscaster on Family Guy.
Yes,
you were like
exactly.
Sassy revenge girl.
Joyce Kinney, thank you. But yeah, I do a lot of audiobooks and narration as well, but I just finished this amazing novel. It's quite long. It comes out in October. And it's for an author who wrote, you might know, a book called The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I love that book.
Oh. Stephen Chbosky. And he's just an incredible writer. And he also directed Perks of Being a Wallflower, among many other movies, such as Wonder. And he decided to come in. I got the job. And then he decided to come in and direct his audio.
Ugh, that's cool.
Has been an absolute pleasure to work with a director of his talent and caliber, but also on something that he is so close to. So it's an amazing book. It's called Imaginary Friend. It comes out early October, and I'm just thrilled to have been a part of it. So this was like a 12 or 13, maybe 13 day journey for us in a very small little room with no windows, which can start to make you crazy after a couple of weeks, as you can imagine.
And then you come home to the circus that is your children. So you are definitely going crazy right now.
I know. And it's, you know, I'm just like, my husband and I are just like in the trenches of, we have a toddler and a 10-month-old.
Oh,
so
man.
And the 10-month-old just started to pull up and like crawl around and walk. And we're like, oh my God, what are we doing?
Super fun. We're going to pepper you with questions.
Okay.
We're going to just go through random rapid fire questions. You just tell us whatever comes
Yay,
to mind.
Love
Super
it.
Cash. First things first.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that your first kiss was Mr. Andrew Keegan, and
okay.
It was on air. Am I correct?
Well, not my first. Okay. I mean, I was 15, so please. No, but he was it, and it wasn't even my first on-screen kiss. No, but he did come on the show Step by Step, and he played like a love interest for me, I think for a couple episodes. And
in his dreamiest time, like Bob Magazine.
Dreamy.
Days.
And he actually, and then we went on a few dates, you know, nothing crazy. I mean, we were like 15, 16. Then we went to the movies and like went bowling and made out in his car on Mulholland. And the cops chased us away.
What? That's amazing.
That would have been my dream date with Andrew Keegan too, for the record.
It wasn't a bad time. but he's just such an awesome guy, and we're still friends. It's very cool.
So not on screen, who was your first kiss? You don't have to name names right now.
Okay. So my first kiss, let me think. Okay. So it's the summer between 6th and 7th grade.
Oh, yes.
I'm at a birthday party. It's a pool party.
Yeah.
And by this point, people were like, had just started kissing, right?
Yeah.
So it had been like a year of first kisses, and people were kissing in the coat closet and kissing at like parties in the basement and that kind of thing. And I still not have my first kiss because the first attempt went horribly awry. Scarred me for a long time. So this is now the next summer, and I was dating a boy named Blair. He had a bowl cut.
Which was the trend then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we were like in the pool and in the shallow end, and She Talks to Angels by the Black Crowes was playing.
Oh my God, you remember the song.
Of course.
Oh.
And we're like slow dancing in the pool, and all of my friends are like, kiss her, kiss her, you know, and like people were slow dancing too. There were like older kids there in like eighth grade, and they kept telling Blair, kiss her. And he was like, he kept like shaking his head and like laughing. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's so crazy. But, like, seriously, you're going to kiss me or what?
Oh my God.
And then finally, like at the end of the song, he like leaned in, and it was like the quickest peck ever. And then we both like ran, like parted like the Red Sea and like ran away.
You like checked it off your list, and you were like, I'm glad everyone was watching that weird, awkward moment.
I was honestly, I was just happy that it had happened, that it was nice, and that it was over so that it could just like move on. You know what I mean?
So classic for that age. You're like, okay, bye.
Totally. Like, so dumb.
And even though your bodies were like touching before because you were slow dancing, the moment your lips touch, you're like the opposite sides of magnets.
Exactly. Like, we couldn't just, we like couldn't handle the like afterglow of the peck or something. It's ridiculous. And the fact that, and why is anyone dancing in a pool? Who knows? So many questions. I was probably wearing Umbros over my one piece.
Classic.
And you had a bunch of like wet butterfly clips in your hair.
Oh, probably. I mean, yeah, we're talking, this is like 1990. This is before.
Those were the best days.
You had like mood ring lip gloss on. That shit was cool.
Probably. Yeah, there was definitely a jelly shoe.
I still have jellies. I buy them every summer.
I think they're amazing. I actually saw some the other day and I was like, ugh, I'm in envy of that woman's
kids
jellies.
Kids today just wouldn't understand. I saw a woman the other day rocking saltwater sandals and I was like, good for you. I mean, those were from our era, so.
That was before you needed support for your foot. Like, you could run around all summer in some flat-ass sandals.
Totally. We used to wear Chinese slippers to school. You know, the black ones that you get, like, in Chinatown? Yeah, zero support.
And they, like, fall apart in 2 seconds. But, I mean, they're super cute. So,
I know.
Speaking of trends, what is a trend from when you were a kid that you wish was popular now? Or what is a current trend that you see and you're like, ugh, I wish that would just die and bury itself?
Okay. The trend right now that I wish would die and bury itself is this weird normcore culture of like wearing high-waisted sweatpants with like a t-shirt, just like a random t-shirt, like from Champs Sporting Goods, tucked into it.
And a full face of makeup.
And those like Fila nurse shoes that look like moon shoes. I don't know what is going on. I think the Kardashians started it. It's like, I just want to wear the ugliest sweatpants that I can find and my dad's huge baggy t-shirt. I'm going to tuck it in. Like, I don't understand it. And then a trend that I wish had been popular when I was a kid.
Right. Something they wear now that you would have liked. You would have been like, I could rock that.
Oh, that kids wear now. What are the kids wearing? I feel like so many of the kids are actually wearing a lot of 90s gear. I mean, fanny packs are back.
Oh, yeah. Like those little backpacks.
Yeah, the high-waisted Levi's, the stonewash high-waisted Levi's are back. I mean, I can't wait till someone starts peg rolling their pants. You know, the only thing that hasn't really come back that I really rocked for a long time, the black Debbie Gibson hat on the back of the head.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That usually with a big permed bang, but I was never allowed to get a perm. So.
Oh, yeah. We both had perms.
Oh, my God. Yes.
They were poodle-rific.
So bad.
Crimping.
Oh, my God. The bird's nest bangs that you curl and then they were in a perfect circle and they just looked like a weird nest.
You had that.
Oh, my God. I tried so hard.
Yeah.
Well, Christine, you had really, really good bangs. Yeah. And you had like the sporty bangs with the backwards hat.
Oh, totally.
Was that like, a step-by-step decision, or were they like, we are casting her because this girl's got rockin' bangs?
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I think I had bangs when I auditioned. They really didn't change very much. I mean, the whole story of how I got the show is so weird. Because I was living in Atlanta, and that's where I grew up, and I'd been doing like local things there, you know, a couple national commercials, but like a lot of theater and some, you know, local things made for TV movies or whatever. And I randomly was doing a show in a theater thing, and an agent from LA spotted me and said to my mom, hey, like, if you're ever in LA, let me know, like, maybe we could work together. Just so, I mean, so left field, honestly.
Yeah.
So a year later, my mom's like, you know what? All of her friends are going out to LA for this spring break trip, but I went to a different school. So I had a different spring break and I couldn't go. And I was really bummed about it. My mom was like, you know, I will take you to LA on your spring break. And we will, while we're out there, maybe we'll just meet up with that. We'll just tell that agent we're coming and like, whatever, you know, if she wants to meet with her, if she wants to do something, like, fine. If not, fine. So we came out for my spring break and she was like, yes, I want to see you. Like, let me figure out a way how I can work with you from Atlanta. Because at that time, we're talking 90s, like there was no Skyping. There was no taking a video of yourself and an audition on tape and sending it. It was just a much bigger.
Yeah, like you're sending out that black and white glossy portrait.
Oh. Yeah, your weird headshot and then like a VHS that's probably from some giant camcorder
thing. Exactly. So they were like, you know, if we have a tape of her here, maybe doing some monologues, you know, we could submit her for stuff, whatever. So I have this monologue prepared and she's like, come to the set of Full House. This is true. And at the time I'm like, what? Because I was a huge TGIF fan, like massive.
I love
this. And I watched it every Friday night with my friends. We would get our Book It pizza certificates from Pizza Hut for reading books.
Yes. And we would go get, you got those too.
That's right. We would go get our personal pan pizzas, bring them home, and watch TGIF, which at the time was Full House, Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was like a Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I don't know.
What about Urkel? Was he on that one?
I don't,
was it Family Matters?
Yes. I can't remember Family the other Matters. Two, but it was definitely those two.
Families do matter.
Well, maybe it might have been Full House, Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, and then that fourth show always kind of rotated. So anyway, she had two children on that show, and now this lady was becoming a manager. She thought agent, something of that sort, but didn't quite know yet. So we go to the set of Full House. She pulls some favors, and they record me literally sitting on that like checkered blue and white chair, and I'm like freaking out because this is like the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. God, you know, like thinking about the monologue second, I'm like, whatever, this is like so amazing. I get to meet all these people and got like visit the set. So I do the monologue. It's fine. It's this like monologue from Irreconcilable Differences. It's a Drew Barrymore movie and she's divorcing her parents. Super sad.
Oh man.
So I'm like crying, blah, blah, blah. So I was always able to cry on cue since I was a little girl. Such so, you talent. Know, show off the talents. So in the control booth, because they were, this is how it like worked back then. They still had the control booth and there was still a guy up there, you know, punching the numbers. The executive producer walks by.
Oh my God.
And he sees me on this TV screen and he's like, who is this girl? Why is she crying?
There's just a wet faced girl with bangs.
And they were like, oh, we're doing, you know, so-and-so a favor. It's just a monologue. We're just like filming it for her, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, okay, great. So we go home, you know, I get to also go to Malibu. We go to the Hard Rock Cafe. You know, we do all the touristy stuff. It's a great trip. Like that was great. Sayonara, see you later. About a month later, they're looking for this role in Step by Step. And they had someone cast, but they couldn't agree or make a deal with the show. And they were looking and looking and looking and like they had everyone else cast for this role. And the executive producer's like, remember that girl that was crying?
So amazing.
Yeah. Someone find me her tape. Like, could I even do comedy? Who knows? So we get this call and they're like, hey, they want to see you out in LA. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. No one flies across the country to audition for something. This is so absurd. I'm like 12.
Nowadays, people are like,
I'll be there tomorrow.
I read a Craigslist post and I'm there. Right. So there.
Yeah. So So anyway, so my dad's like, you know, listen, if you don't want to do it, it's totally fine. But I've got some frequent flyer miles. My dad traveled all the time. And as I said, I'm an only child. So who else were they using them on? And he's like, you go with your mom. You know, maybe it's just a story to tell the grandkids about. Like, you know, no pressure, but just if you feel like doing it.
That is just so positive and supportive and wonderful.
I know. And I was like, okay, but if you're sure. He's like, yes. And I said, well, I'm supposed to be taking care of Sarah Skartz's dog, Dusty. And I've told her I would do this. I tell you, I'm a very, like, meticulous person. So he's like, I will take care of Dusty. And I'm like, well, I have to show you how to do it. I mean, I was really into taking care of Dusty. Anywho, we go out to LA. You know, I do the audition the next day. And they have me back in right away, like one more time. I do the same audition. They laugh the same way. I'm like, all right, well, that's it. They're like, okay, well, she's leaving tomorrow. So just letting you know. And the next day we get this call and they're like, yeah, you got the pilot.
Yeah.
So I stayed for, I think, 2 weeks, something like that. We shot the pilot. Everyone's like, don't count your chickens. These things never go. You know, Stacey Keenan's mom was like, we've done millions of pilots. Just letting you know. So we go back home and like, again, and so many people don't get picked up with the series too. There's always that.
Right.
As you probably don't remember, like the pilot of Step by Step, I had a huge part of
it. Oh, I totally remember because that intro had so many weird little things about it. Like the ocean does not touch that roller coaster.
No.
We used to watch and our dad had the Hollywood critical eye because he had friends in Hollywood. And we were like, that is not right.
That's
and
Magic Mountain.
Exactly. And you swapped out that kid and traded for a totally different kid. And we were like, and we remembered all those little details from watching this with dad.
Yep. Well, yeah, because they weren't going to like re-rent Magic Mountain. By the way, who rents Magic Mountain to do a title sequence for a sitcom that wasn't even picked up yet? I mean, that's insane. They would never do that today.
No, they would just CGI everything now.
Yeah. Right. And every time we went to Magic Mountain as kids, we try to recreate that shit. The balloons, the whole nine yards. It was never like that.
No.
There was lines.
Oh, for sure. But I have to say, filming at Magic Mountain was pretty dang cool.
Oh, I bet. It looked like the most perfect time.
It was so fun. But I mean, and that was my first day on set. It's the first thing they did. But they wouldn't let us ride any of the rides because of liability.
And they were like, we just put money on your head, so you're not allowed to fall out anything.
Yeah.
Your liability.
The only thing we legit rode was that weird boat that we went down.
Right, the one that would definitely not kill you if it tried.
You're allowed to ride that one. But anyway, so yeah. So and then, you know, 2 months later, the show got picked up and we were like, my parents were like, wait, what? What do we do now? It was always a little bit like, yeah, kind of always like fly by the seat of our pants, figure it out, adapt. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I feel like that's where you get that. You're definitely like that now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've always been, you know, I've always been kind of a hustler and I always will be. I just, you know, I've been lucky sometimes and I've been unlucky sometimes, but I've always worked hard. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, this business is, it's so much of it depends on timing and luck sometimes. But you have to be ready for when the opportunity gets there. And, you know, it's like people remember when you work hard, but they certainly remember when you don't.
So I have some behind the scenes questions for you.
Whoa,
I do know you are a huge fan of The Bachelor.
Yes.
And I myself
was
lucky enough to apply for and get on a dating show from the creator of The Bachelor, Mike Fleiss, went ahead and put out a lovely show called More to Love. And it was for dating for plus size people. We called it The Fatchler.
Oh my God. I'm so excited that you actually called it. That's my favorite.
It was entertaining to say the least, but we all got to dress up in really fun dresses and compete for the love of a chubby white football player.
Oh my God. I remember when you emailed me this story for worship and I was in equal parts fascinated and horrified by your
experience. Equal parts disgusted and telling you, and then I have a reason I'm bringing this up again. So you're with a bunch of girls. You're totally sequestered. You have no entertainment whatsoever. You can't have TV, can't have magazines, can't have your phones, can't have anything. I'm an artist. They wouldn't even let me have a sketch pad because they were like, hey, and she's writing down secrets, inside scoops. And I was like, nah, I'm just drawing a skull and crossbones because I want to kill myself. So to entertain ourselves, we would do things like make up fake cooking shows and look directly into the camera and get in trouble. And we would get other people really drunk and pretend we were drunk and try to get secrets out of them.
Oh my God.
And we basically had a lot of off camera TV timeout moments that were very, very entertaining. And my question is, you guys were on set for many, many years. You grew up together. Was there any like behind the scenes things that you did that was like clubhouse style? Like you guys had games or little secret missions you did or things that you did to stay entertained?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would, you know, we were kids, right? So in the beginning, it was all about playing. Like I had an old ass Nintendo. And I put it in my dressing room and Brandon, Colin, and I would come up for breaks. We'd get like a 10 or 15 minute break from school. And we would go up to my dressing room and play Mike Tyson's Punch.
Oh, that was the best game.
So good. And he was really good at it. I was really never good at video games, but I was really good at watching people play video games. So there was that. And then it kind of like morphed into like Sega Genesis and we'd play Street Fighter Contra and stuff like that.
Right.
And I hung out because I was sort of in the middle. So I would hang out with Brandon and Christopher Castile and even like the littlest one, Josh Byrne. And they would all like play video games together. And I was kind of like caught between two worlds because I was 12 and the older girls, you know, they were like 15 and 16. They weren't playing video games. They were like, Stacey was like very studious and focused on her studies. And I was just like a little too young for them.
They weren't kissing people in swimming pools?
No, probably not. I mean, I'm sure Stacey was probably doing a lot classier things. She was probably at like the Chateau Marmont having a martini for that. But as I got older and, you know, then Brandon was like out of school and he was literally just like laying in his dressing room reading probably like nudie magazines, who knows. But then I became like better friends with the older girls, and then we were like the three of us, we would hang, you know. Angela and I were super close. We'd go to lunch all the time. We had like our own language. We had all these like little isms. We would say these little, you know, we'd say these little things. We had inside jokes. We had like songs. We would just talk in that girl language of like, nah, nah, nah. Like we would just have all these like funny little things we'd say and make each other laugh.
I think you guys would have a keyword that would set you all off laughing. And Patrick Duffy's like,
ugh, oh, and he was the funniest. He is the biggest prankster. He directed probably 50 of our episodes, which a lot of people don't know. He's the nicest man and just like a total jokester, prankster all the time. And he was the one, I think more than anyone, he just kept the mood so light always. And I think like I give both me and Suzanne, people always ask, you know, oh, Suzanne, like, was she a diva? People I think want me to say that she was, and she couldn't have been farther from that.
Sure.
Diva in that, like, she deserves the title in that she is like all that. She really is.
Totally.
But she is very humble and very grounded and very generous and very like self-deprecating.
So she's a normal woman.
A normal fucking woman. But yet someone who is so, I think in the 70s was so misunderstood and labeled for the wrong reasons, for the reason that we are all still fighting for today, P.S.
Yeah.
Wanting equal pay for equal work. And God forbid, you know, she was sort of like, you know, they took her to like a witch trial for that. But then like throughout the years to watch her, you know, she ended up during Step by Step, she had this line of cookbooks and then there was this fitness line and then came the Thighmaster.
Just slinging Thighmasters.
I owned a Thighmaster in seventh grade.
Oh my God, yeah, I had a Thighmaster. We had a Buttmaster. We had all the things. And she was the first one to make fun of herself about all of it. And she would, there were so many Thighmaster jokes. There were so many things in like the gag reel. I wish the public could see these gag reels because they are truly some of the most ridiculous, funniest things.
Like, I want to see all the cutting room floor stuff, like the gag reels. I wish they would release those for like Step by Step. I think it's so funny. The like stairwells and stuff, like you guys, a set with a cast that big, I'm sure at some point you're going up the stairs and the stairs right. lead to like nowhere.
Oh yeah.
So you're just like one person goes up and then just waits, and then everybody else goes up the stairs, and then there's like six of you on top of like a weird giant pedestal okay. that goes to nowhere.
Oh, God, seriously. I mean, we would laugh because, yeah, the stairs went to nowhere. And if you all had a scene where you all had to go up the stairs at some point, which there weren't that many, but like one person would go up and the next person would go up, and then be like three or four of us crouched in like this, like an elevator space.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
And that's the bloopers we want to see.
Totally. I was going to ask, who broke the most? I could totally picture it being Suzanne.
Yeah, someone's trying to make someone laugh. I mean, the worst offender of laughing was Suzanne. Hilarious. And when she would get going, she could not stop herself. And then Patrick would just keep egging her on. And it, I mean, truly some of the funniest, still some of the funniest moments. My parents have all these gag reels on like VHS, and I really hope they convert them because we're going to lose them eventually.
Can you just make like
time
one of those to us?
Yeah, man. Slide in our DMs, girl. Fulfill my dream.
Seriously.
I think I should. No, I don't think there's any copyright on that. At this point, I'm kind of like, why the heck not?
When Step by Step hit Hulu, I was like, gonna cry. Because there was all these Reddit threads that were like, bring back TGIF. And I was like, I'm not signing up for this. But I'm going to wish.
Totally.
Step by Step, man.
Yes, I know. It's so interesting, too, because there was this whole article that came out a couple weeks ago that Time Warner, they're doing their own, Time Warner Media is doing, like, their own streaming service, you know, because everybody's like, oh, duh, why weren't we doing this already? We don't have this material. And I think because of the success of Fuller House, and clearly they optioned that out. They sold, I don't think they sold the rights, but they sold the option or whatever to Netflix to make it. And it did so much better than I think they thought it would. So this, this article came out that they are considering, I guess they're in development on, doing reboots of Step by Step, Perfect Strangers, and Family Matters.
Oh my God. Perfect Strangers. Oh, I just got full body goosebumps.
Oh my God. I'm covered in goosebumps. Right?
That's one of my favorites.
I loved that show. So good. Balki Bartokomous. Do you remember when Balki Bartokomous came on Step by Step as Jean-Luc?
Yes.
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 Oh, I love a good crossover so much.
I loved it. And that was like the whole like Cody swap out thing.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah. We got so excited because Balki was like my mom's favorite person in the world.
Totally.
Yeah.
Do you want to play the roommate game?
Oh,
it's so good.
Okay.
So you replace the word kids with roommates, and then you tell us the crazy fucking shit that happens in your house.
So the other day, my roommates, I have two roommates. One is a boy and one is a girl. And I said to the girl, please put your own butt away and stop torturing your brother. That happened. One of my roommates recently told me that her boogers love her. And I said, why is that? And she said, because I give them a home in my nose and in my mouth.
Oh my God. That's probably the winner of ones I've heard so far.
I'm always really curious. And they always say that if you're in one profession, like the actor always wants to be a singer, or a musician always wants like a movie role for no reason. If you could pick any other career other than being an actor, what career would you choose?
Well, I mean, you know, if I could sing like Kelly Clarkson, would I be doing that tomorrow? Yeah.
She got pipes.
Who doesn't want to be able to like have just like a, I would love to have a crazy powerful belt with a huge range. I mean, that sounds super fun.
You did a bunch of musical theater though. You can sing.
And I love to perform, and you know, so if that were part of my repertoire, that would be amazing. No, at this stage in my singing life, I used to sing a lot more. At this stage, I'm like a
dramatic
tenor.
Pipes, like a Celine Dion situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if there could be something like that, sure. I mean, that's like definitely, if I could even just sing like that for one
day, cool
day, that'd be amazing. And just go do a Broadway show, sing the national anthem somewhere, be at the Super Bowl, and then be like, I did it. I'm done.
Not like Fergie national anthem, but like classic.
Yeah, like classic style. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm a huge Beyonce fan. I think she's just like, I think she's amazing. I think it would be so rad for one night just to go and like step inside of her body and be at Coachella or something and just, you know, be able to experience all of that in a moment. Yeah. And it's also, acting is not a meritocracy. So you could get one great role and it doesn't necessarily mean that it leads to another great role. And then it started to feel like...
When did you first get a taste for the director's hat? Like, yeah, a little bit more control?
I first got the taste of just like creating my own content. I created a web series that I sold to Hulu way back in the day called Love and Lakin. And you can still see it. It's on my YouTube channel. Like, I don't really know how to work YouTube because I'm not 12. But
you can check it. I don't know how, but it's there.
She's not going to link it. But if you dig it up, that's your own problem.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wrote it like literally just on a whim. I was taking this writing class and I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to put something out there. And I had a friend of mine help me with some of the episodes and we ended up turning it into, I think it's like 12 episodes or something. I had another friend at the time who was doing documentaries, but he had access to all this equipment and he was like, Lakin, I just want to do something with you. Like, I'm doing all these really intense documentaries and I just want to do something fun and mindless and crazy. I was like, well, I just wrote this thing. Like, do you want to shoot it? He's like, yeah, let's shoot it. And I mean, and it was so much fun. So I ended up writing it. I directed a couple of the episodes. I starred in all the episodes. And it was just like, oh, I am in my element. This is what I want to do. And I'm to the point now where, you know, I've written a bunch of stuff. I've pitched tons of things. I sold two. One went. But I really... I love working with creative people. I love working with actors because I understand them. And I love being on the other side of something that feels like you can do a great job and that actually builds onto a career and builds onto opportunities in a way that just acting.
Well, that's the good part of being a creative. Like Bonnie and I are both creative brains and we do a lot of stuff where we have a lot of false starts and we throw a lot of shit at the wall just to see what sticks. And that's kind of the cool process of everything. And do what makes you feel happy and then don't do the things that don't make you feel happy. I mean, life's too short.
It's true. And sometimes you start a project and you get other people involved and it just like morphs into its own entire project that when you're done, you're like, this is actually way cooler. It's not what I planned on.
So,
but with everybody else's creative brains and it has turned into like its own majestic beast.
True.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back and direct a bunch more episodes of television this fall. And I'm stoked. I'm so excited. And there's no part of me that feels like when I'm doing that, I never sit there and look at the actors and be like, lucky. Like I'm never looking at, I think what they do is amazing. And I've been on that side and I love it too. But when I'm sitting in that director spot, I am perfectly happy to be there.
All right, we like to play a game. It's called This or That. And in this case, we're doing a special version called Worst Ever, This or That. So we'll give you two options. We want you to pick the worst option for you.
The worst of the two, which you would not like.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That sounds amazing. So good.
Shannon, why don't you start?
Too cold or too hot?
Okay. Too cold.
Food poisoning or hangover?
Food poisoning.
Too hungry or too tired?
I'm gonna say tired. But I'm always tired. But I was an actress for so long, so I know what it's like to be hungry. No.
Sometimes it's both.
Usually both. As a mom, it's always both.
Missing your flight or missing your mom's birthday.
Ooh. Forgetting your mom's birthday. I would make, I did the both. Guilt.
Southern guilt is real, though.
I would feel terrible. The guilt. But even that. But it's also, I can never forget my mom's birthday because it's Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, I used to think everybody celebrated my birthday on Cinco de Mayo because my birthday's on May 1st. And I just thought that a piñata was standard.
Yeah, it's like a party everywhere on my mom's birthday.
Right?
Yeah.
You have the flu or your husband has the flu?
My husband having the flu. Mm-hmm.
Men just get the flu so hard, right? Yeah. It's so hard.
Yeah, it's like having three children instead of two. Yeah.
Yes. It's like if he has the flu, then I'm taking care of all the children and taking care of him. If I have the flu, I'm just like, go away. Just leave me be. I'll figure it out. You know what I mean?
Womp womp. Food stuck in your teeth all day or a skirt tucked up in your panties in a crowded room for just a moment.
I'm going to say food in my teeth because at least if people are kind, they could pretend the other one didn't happen. But if you've done that all day and like I put in a lot of FaceTime with people all day, that would be yeah, that would be terrible.
Okay. Toothache or earache?
I think I'd pick toothache. That's worse. Yeah. Because that goes into your brain and then you're just like, you have like a headache and it's awful. And then you know that a drill is coming. At least with an earache, it's bad, but there might just be drops.
Oh God.
That's so true.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Awful. They both suck and you can't reach them.
Where can all the people find you in all your endeavors? Run the gamut. Where can we find you?
Sure. You can find me on all social media at Yo Lakin.
I love it.
Yeah, I have a blog that I sometimes write about things. Sometimes if I have a wild hair, you can find me at christine-lakin.com. And then my podcast is Worst Ever, and you can find us at Worst Ever and Worst Ever Podcast.
And we can find your directing stylings all over the place, like on all these different shows, yes?
Yeah, you'll see my directing again this fall on the Goldbergs and also on their sister show, Schooled, both on ABC.
Hollywood Darlings is on the Pop Channel. Pop. You can stream it.
Yeah, you can find all of season one and two of Hollywood Darlings on the Pop app. If you want to check out Love and Lakin, if you're a YouTube maven, you can find it on YouTube.
Rabbit hole it.
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it too.
K-hole, Love and Lakin. There's a good one. Actually, one of my, this will be the last thing I leave you with. Speaking of footage that has stayed in the vault, there is one episode I did after, I was filming Love and Lakin during You Again, and there's one I did with Jamie Lee Curtis that is,
I feel like she would be so super funny, sassy.
She is so dirty and hilarious. But at the time she did it, and then afterwards had a got an endorsement deal with a company that was very conservative and was like, I'm sorry, you can't air that. And I'm like, damn it. So someday I hope it can get leaked, but for now it will have to stay, I guess, in the vault. But anyway, she's a gem and was just, I mean, there's a reason she's married to Christopher Guest. I'll put it that way. She's just,
dang girl, people just join your orbit.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me again. And thank you for bearing with me and like all the craziness that is swirling around my life. This was actually so fun. And I just had a blast chatting with you guys.
So this is the uncomfortable part of the podcast. Mm-hmm. We shower you with praise.
And it feels so gross.
Can't believe you're here in the first place.
You are a role model. You're ass kicking. You're hardworking. Mm-hmm. You're driven. You're really funny. You're well spoken, and girl, you are aging like a dream.
Seriously,
like
it's
image,
unfair.
Image and beauty shit shouldn't matter,
right?
In Hollywood, truly, but girl to girl,
yeah,
you look fine.
You are so fit. Wow. You're fit as fuck, from making two people
yeah.
with your body.
Go you.
Like, kudos. You look amazing.
Oh, stars. Oh, man. Well, thank you, guys. Those are such nice things. It's so sweet of you to say. Thank you, guys. You guys are that as well.
Thank you so much for joining us and
sincerely
hanging out and talking with us about all the things.
Such a good talk.
Yeah. Seriously.
Thanks, you too.
We love you, and I'm way less nervous now.
This has been the best.
You guys, we have a merch store now.
Oh, my God.
And it is incredible. You can get all kinds of cool stuff on it, so we definitely recommend you check it out. It's youarethatmerch.com.
Yep.
If you are in our Patreon group and you're in one of our tiers that will give you a merch discount, those have been sent out to you. So check your inboxes because you can get 20% off your entire order.
That's so much.
Mm-hmm. Just find us on patreon.com/youarethat if you are not already participating, and you'll get your code as well.
And what if people want to participate for freezies?
Oh, that's really good. Word of mouth is bomb. Tell your friend. Tell your mom. Yes. Tell your auntie.
Tell your mom and your auntie's friend.
Tell them all. And we appreciate it. Listen to it with your mom. And then you and your mom can sit down and have memory lane where you talk about your own memories. And she tells you stuff that you forgot about when you were like 2 years old and your brain didn't work then.
I like that. And if your mom tells you a thought and you're like, oh my God, this is what I need to put in my review when I do my 5-star rating on iTunes to help the girls, tell us what your mom said. That's how you review.
I love it. Please play this for your mom and then review with memories that your mom told you about yourself.
Right. Please.
Project of the week, guys.
And if you don't want to share that particular tidbit, if it's a little too personal, but you still want to share it, get all up in the Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you do it. And then you tell those friends, and then they'll tell their friends, and then you'll hear their stories. It's great. It's a clubhouse, the Yacht Clubhouse.
The Yacht Clubhouse. And you can find that on Facebook. If you just search You Are That, we have a group and we have a page. So if you just want alerts, you just want to know what's up, Facebook page, like it. If you want to participate in the group, ask to join the group. You'll be approved because all your friends in there can approve you right now. So it's like kind of a madness free-for-all.
People remember when you work hard, but they certainly remember when you don't.
The joyous times of the 90s.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.